just love you guys. I know. Like, it's really, like,
Yeah.
syrupy and, like, we're just family. It just feels really good. And the people that we're attracting have that as well. And that makes me really happy. Like, the community that we're building, I'm really proud of that. And I think we all need to be proud of that.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, the JREP team got together, or rather most of us, Blanca wasn't available unfortunately, to review and discuss last month's Japan Real Estate Summit, which we thought was a phenomenal success, and spoiler alert, based on your feedback, so did you. So we ran through your feedback surveys, we analyzed your responses, read your suggestions and impressions, took on some of your excellent advice, and had a bit of a brainstorming session on how we might improve things in our next event, which, by the way, is already scheduled for the 17th and 18th of October in Tokyo and online, as always. So you can start making your travel arrangements if you're coming in from out of town. And so we reviewed your comments about the event, the various speakers, sponsors, and presentations that you all watched at the summit. And if you haven't been to the summit and you haven't watched those yet, you can find them all on our downloads page at nippontradings.com or on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Japan Real Estate, which you really should subscribe to if you haven't yet. We'll link to it in this episode show notes, of course. And we also discussed pricing, ticketing, event format moving forward. So if you've been to any of the Japan Real Estate Summits, either the last one back in April or any of the previous six sessions that we've had in the last few years, this should be a real treat for you. And if you haven't attended one, highly recommend to check out the presentations, highlights reel, and photo gallery right after you watch or listen to this. I'm sure it'll whet your appetite, and hopefully we'll see you at the next one or one of the upcoming sessions in the near future. Enjoy this debriefing session, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Okay, back in the house after a long, 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 long time with Matt.
Here we are together at last.
In the same room.
Yeah. The same room. Yeah, he's here in Fukuoka to record a we're going to have a podcast episode recording about a property that he's helping market for us, which is right up his alley.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, fantastic.
Good, good. Let's get into it. So is this our first real meeting post-summit?
It is.
Yeah, we had a debriefing session, but that was about it.
Okay,
great. Let's get into the post-survey results.
Yes, so please. Can you maximize that, Tracy, though? It's a bit small.
Hang on. Okay.
Get bigger eyes.
I know.
Get bigger eyes. Hang on. How do I make this just the screen bigger?
My screen resolution on the PC like keeps going up every year.
Command shift plus. Command shift plus. Again.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit too much. Too much.
There we go.
Okay. Yes.
Right.
Ish.
Yeah.
So let me just do
copy
this.
Chart.
Okay. So we had only 22 responses from what, 120 or so people?
People don't want the freebies, I guess.
I don't want the freebies. Oh well. I mean, this is the post survey. I think we have more people who sign up who signed up for the. I mean, I know everyone hates surveys, but this data is really useful for us to make sure that we're giving people their money's worth and they've got what they came for.
But the 22 is good.
22, yeah, 22 is all right, I guess. So there's 22 people, mostly in person. People came both days, so that's actually good. So that's a really good data point. Everyone 4 to 5 stars, happy days.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we got, yeah, nice, very good.
Okay, this is I'm gonna so
Command minus to make it smaller.
command minus. Right. So
Oh,
okay.
that's an AI summary. That's cool.
Yes, this is an AI summary. So, yes.
Okay. Why don't
So,
we why don't you read that? Because we are on the
are we
post.
on power as well? So, informative content and learning. Attendees highly valued content, specifically citing the very informative discussions and QA sessions, case studies from previous transactions, and the experienced lectures. The summit helped fill knowledge gaps for new investors and offered frank information on what to do and how deals failed. Networking and connections. A major highlight was the networking, including the breakout sessions and the drink event on the second night, which allowed attendees to meet speakers, exchange information, and make personal connections. Speaker quality and authenticity. The speakers were praised for their knowledge, real and respectful vibe, noted for having integrity, authenticity, and respect for each other. Specific appreciation to Ben Tanaka's presentation on taxes, Shiki on ski resorts, Ziv and Emil's first session. Practical topics. Favorite specific topics included taxes and loans, investing, investment property discussions, seeing new tools to find real estate, and the STR short-term rental talk.
Nice.
So this is good that people are looking for the new tools. So that was you, Ziv, bringing in the new tools.
And Charles, yeah, Charles is now
And
in
Charles.
Fukuoka, by the way. He's a guest at our Tuesday business
Oh, good.
networking events here in town, and everybody loves him.
Food and refreshments. The lunch and overall food quality was described as superb. So that's a positive because we've had mixed reports on past food and beverage.
Well,
So
that's the 22 people who took the time to fill in the survey, right?
correct,
And
yes.
yeah, but that's all we've got to work with. So
You're positive.
yeah. Look, I
Yeah.
also think if people unhappy people are usually louder than happy people.
Yeah, good
So
point.
I think if there were sort of like real criticisms, then they kind of shine, they kind of come through rather than the praise. So I think that's positive. Again, these are also the summaries,
Yes.
so I do want to look at the very specific responses later.
Okay.
Well, that's it. Sorry, can you just go, what was the question for that one? The previous one?
What was your favorite
What was
part?
the favorite part? Okay, so that was all positive. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to
We
be my
haven't
favorite
answered
part was my least favorite
the
part.
criticisms yet. Which sessions and speakers stood out to you the most and why? The most frequently mentioned speakers was Ben Tanaka.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The guy is eloquent as shit.
Yep.
Oh,
Chikako doesn't know him, and she's like, "Where did you find this guy?"
he's amazing. I told him when I met him because I do a bit of work with him. Well, I pay him to help me. And when I first had my first coaching session with him, I wept with gratitude for being just for his knowledge and his generosity. And I'm gonna,
I
wish
wish he
now
was an accountant.
Oh yeah. But Ben Tanaka was the most highlighted speaker, often cited for resonating with attendees' current objectives and personal interests for having gems to share.
I'm just on a note about Ben. I went
Yes.
to do a podcast recording in the breakout room, afterwards when it was empty. There's meant to be nothing scheduled there. And Ben sat there, and the room is full. There's like maybe 15 people just around chairs, just listening to his story and Q&A, Q&A, Q&A. Like he's just continuing.
Oh, he's just a solid human being. Yes. So key individuals and firms noted. Other speakers who stood out was Emil, Ziv, Matt Ketchum for interesting insights and stories. Nakajima-san, who provided agent learning.
Isn't that
Tracy.
me again?
Yeah, that's yeah, Ziv Nakajima again. Yeah.
Ziv, Matt, and
Yeah.
Yes. Me for Minpaku and Chai Kanda for short term rental and STR learnings. Chai's always a brilliant speaker. Topics of high interest. The specific financial investment topics were particularly popular, including yen loans from Mark Drabkin.
It's so nice to be able to actually feature loans now. This is, yes. It was a few decades in the making, that one.
Yeah. We actually also about him. So we're working on a deal right now with him. We're doing our first deal. With Mark. Yeah. So that's going through. They are fast. Their turnarounds. Like they say they move fast. Well, they move fast. Like, as in, I sent the email in about for two properties in about an hour, I had rough valuations back, what they could do, then, and the KYC for the client. The next day, I sent the KYC documents from the client to them. And again, in about 1 or 2 hours, Wyatt had come back with, yep, this is how much we can roughly give him. And these are the terms and conditions. And that was, yeah, like last week. And now today we're sending the, I think they transferred the funds over already, like for the, you know, the was it initial assessments and the commitment fee that he was talking about, and so I think hopefully today or tomorrow, once that's received, we'll have the approval letter in hand to make the purchase, and the contract is this Friday, so like 10 days, whereas a normal bank is like 2-3 weeks.
Well, I mean, that speaks to your preparation on behalf of the client too. You had everything ready, right?
I mean, it's normal employment information and all that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, we looked at the properties, but now usually when we want to move on a property, you want to be quick. And when you have any kind of, you know, non-standard, non-resident buyer, it's just such a chore, such a process, and it takes 2 or 3 weeks to get stuff sorted. And in that time, you may lose the property. Whereas in this case, it's, you know, we saw it, well, on Thursday or Friday of last week, I saw it, and we're signing the contract this Saturday. So
he's only condos, right? Only mansions, is that right?
It's a condo in Yokohama. So they've just expanded up until April. I think until March, they were doing only the 23 wards of Tokyo. And from April, and this is what he said at our summit, they're expanding to Greater Tokyo and then some other cities, main cities. Yep. So just the timing worked out perfectly.
Nice.
It's a Yokohama mansion overlooking the water.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in, fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy. Fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
So another shout out for Retire Japan and information about investments. Akiya and Foreign Buyer Focus, the Akiya Hub presentation by Shu Matsuo Post and Brett Lee, who was also mentioned individually, was highly regarded. And Ziv's discussion on expectations for agents and foreign buyers focusing on better communication was also highlighted. That's such a good talk that you do, Ziv. It's like, it's so valuable to people to
know. I wish there were more agents in the room listening, though. Like the ones that were there, I kind of know are already doing the right thing, but I guess the other ones are not going to turn up, right?
I unfortunately miss everyone's talk because I think you guys as well. Everyone has to run around and we're so busy during that. I can't listen to other people's talks.
Well, that's why the recordings are recordings out, so we can catch up. We can catch up. So multiple attendees commented that all the speakers were good and that every session offered value due to the smarts and savvy of each speaker. And the event, well, that's good. There was no duds by the sounds of it. No duds.
A very solid event.
And so this is the original. This is the raw data.
Okay, cool. All right, let's go to the next step.
Was the event length and pacing appropriate? Everyone's saying it's just right. Only one person said it was too short, and one person said it was too long.
That average ours is just right.
Yeah, 20 people, yeah.
And value for money, just right. One person saying it's too expensive.
Okay.
Pullman got high marks.
Yep.
15 people, 71% of people gave it 5 stars.
5 people, 4 stars, and one person a 3. Okay.
One person a 3. And then how is the food and beverage? 5 stars was 40% of people, 33% said 4 stars, 19% of respondents said 3 stars, and one person said it was a 2-star.
I wonder how much of that was the gala, like the gala dinner food, I think got some criticism.
Could have been better, yeah.
And I agree.
But the space was amazing. The gala dinner dining room is really amazing. Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all we needed to tweak was like, we need to do, I think we discussed last time,
a taste test
on the dishes, a taste test in advance. If we're having 50, 60 people come to an event, we need to, and they're paying, it's not cheap for that. We need to do a bit of a test. They were way off the mark with one of those dishes.
Well, so the gala is 4 and 5 stars across the, pretty much split across the board.
Yep.
So content and learning, 5 star. Well, the question is, how relevant were the topics to your interests and goals? 70% of people said 5 stars. So that's good to show that our marketing, our messaging of what we're actually delivering, so that people can make a good choice whether to come or not is accurate. But I mean, we've been doing it now for a number of years, so we're pretty accurate about what we do and who we serve. So it's good that the people who are going to best benefit are coming, buying tickets, and they're finding value in it. I guess that's the main thing.
Also, when we have 10 plus speakers and 2 days worth of different talks, we're trying to do quite a broad range. It's not super niche, right? You've got family homes, loans, investments, Akiya. So for one person to think all of this is perfect for me, I think is going to be tough. So I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's important to have the breakout sessions, because not everyone is interested in every session. So being able to either dig deep into one thing or another, and making sure that the lineup, we're not, you know, so that people are not conflicted about which one to join. That's good to have. You know, I miss Ben's because I was running my breakout session when Ben was talking. So the people that were in my session were really interested in Minpaku, right? So and they, you know, they missed the Ben Tanaka's talk, but I think that was you know, I didn't want to be at the same time as Chai, for example, because that would have split the room up. So it's good that people who have similar things are not on at the same time. Which areas do you want to see more of next time? Financing and loans got a big push. Compliance and minpaku always, because that's what it's changed. Oh my goodness, the changes that are coming through the down the pipeline, guys. It's really, really different. It's changed. Oh, really? The landscape's really changing right now. Market trends and data, another important one. Investment case studies. So obviously that's a popular thing, but more case studies. Midterm stays and STR, relocation and property management, all of the above. And then is it people saying, I think Ben Tanaka taxes, people could have written their own. Did you find the panels and Q&A sessions engaging? Most people said very, and there was a few people that said no, nah, not so much.
Good. Okay.
If you joined via live stream, what was your experience with the audio and what was this one? Video, audio, video, and chat interaction. Mostly good. So that's great because we've solved this stream. Yeah. That we've had a couple of challenges in the past where people weren't able to interact so much or hear so much.
Yeah, that's mainly
sorted now. They did give us a dedicated wired connection for that. And we've done that a few times now. And also Matt, who's been running the Zoom behind, this is like maybe his fourth time he's done it. So he's also quite familiar with the setup too and can control it well. So I'm glad that quality is coming through.
Yeah.
The next question is, did you make useful connections during the summit? 66% of people said yes. 23% of people said somewhat. And 9.5% of people said, nah, not so much.
It's a little surprising.
Yeah.
I figured that would be higher.
The introverts, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, because like there's only so many ways to interact with people there, which is basically while you're watching something, while you're at a breakout session, and then like
we had a lot of networking time though, right?
It was, you know what, there was lots of networking time, and I think that's okay. Look, there's a lot of people, not everyone's there for networking. Some people but that said, the way the venue was, like for both the gala dinner but the outside terrace and the bar, this is one of the reasons I was really, I really like this venue compared to other ones we've done in the past. People could sort of chill or be in a different space and just have their own time to build a deep connection with someone. There were so many different separated seatings outside.
It was looking like a lot of them did that, actually. I saw people in like really deep conversations that just missed half of the sessions because they were getting into it.
Yeah,
I mean, and every place was nice. The terrace was beautiful to be outside. The bar area was really nice to be outside. The breakout room was also really, really nice because it's great windows. We're not in a basement. Yeah. It's not a dungeon. It's not dark.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And also the lobby, you know, in the lobby downstairs is quite nice as well.
Do we have any way of knowing, because especially in the lobby and the outside bar was very much public, and I'm kind of curious if we had any way of collecting, like, were we like bleeding out into the normies who would then hear, who previously hadn't heard of the event itself, or like are people starting to pick up because we're now more, that event was more basically
in the bar available? There were quite a few people who were just hotel guests, I think, but they didn't seem like they were interested in mingling. They just looked at us. Yeah,
but that's also in the evening, not at the start of the event, right?
Possibly,
but yeah, I don't think anyone accidentally stumbled up and came into the event.
Right.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. All right.
Are you interested in coming next time? Likely, 40%. No. Definitely, 60%.
Oh, nice.
I think that's pretty great.
And no, no, no's.
no nose
Yeah.
and no, maybe it's complicated.
That maybe a few of those.
And what improvements? This is always so
There we go.
useful. We get this every time. Logistics and venue improvement. Day one was a little cramped, with a preference for the October 2025
Oh,
space.
really? So that's the consensus is that people prefer the forum.
Well, this is the summary. It may have just been one person who was only
Okay.
14 people responded there. So the venues, however, are generally getting better. Suggestions include a possible third entry night, providing some sort of
Security
security.
and providing some sort of security. I think there was, yeah, okay.
Yes,
Yeah.
that was a bit of an incident.
There was enough security.
Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's Akiya hyphen Mart, Mart, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the Akiya Mart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So, if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So, you can use my code ZIV, ZIV at checkout and get 30% off your Akiya Mart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com.
Structure, session structure, and content. Respondents suggested keeping different topics and speakers to evade to avoid stale content. Labeling sessions by experience level, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Actually, that's an interesting comment. Really good. And adding more actionable items and case studies. There's a desire for a more balanced viewpoint, including reasons not to invest. I think all of my topic was why not to invest.
I actually thought we were very I didn't feel anybody was, because there's a bit of a contradiction there, but like actionable items meaning what? Like you want us to sell you stuff, and on the other hand, do you want us to be more balanced and tell you not to buy stuff? So
Let's read the actual, you know what, for this, because it's important for these improvements, let's read the actual responses rather than
Formalized breakout session providing multiple breakouts. More
we did
actionable.
that last time. I think it was a bit too structured for a lot of people. They said it was a bit too much.
More balanced viewpoints. If there are reasons to invest, there must be reasons not to invest. Would like to get unbiased views on this. That's fair. Absolutely. We, if anything, the Brett and Shu talk about why not to do things,
And you
and
did, you
not.
definitely did too. And Matt keeps
Oh yeah.
saying who it's not
Yeah,
for. I thought we were all doing that, but okay, that's something to keep in mind.
day one
Okay, so
was
that was one
cramped.
person who preferred the form. Yeah.
Keep different topics and speakers so content doesn't get stale for veteran attendees. We do that. I don't have. I've never had the same topic every time. I always talk about different, like I've talked about the software that you can use, or how to.
Okay.
Other conferences also label sessions for beginners, intermediate, and
That's
advanced.
an interesting
Yeah.
That is an interesting comment. Possibly not nothing at all, possibly a third entry night.
That just means a third night.
Wow.
That's
Okay.
a lot.
I don't know if I can handle that.
Sometimes there was a noise distraction at sitting at the back. I think you handled the disruptive attendee brilliantly. Bravo, Blanca and me for keeping it classy, and the rest of the team for handling it with minimal drama. Impressive.
That was a challenge, the minimum drama part.
Yes. Some kind of security. I don't think Kingsley will because he that the chat
Okay.
went up to Kingsley and said, "Are you security?"
I think that's all right. We've
We've covered
discussed
that enough. Yes.
that.
Okay. It would be good if the breakout room had streaming for attendees online. That's problematic, I think. It really. I think what we could also do, though, is that for some, I think we could record them actually, and then if there's any private information, because people like sometimes like to share their private information, especially with taxes and
that's the point of the breakout room is like more personal scenarios. And I know that Brett and Shu ask people in advance if it's okay to record their session in the breakout room, and they do. I think somebody else did last time, again with permission, but in most cases it's a problem. And also, if we actually stream it, that's going to really raise the ticket prices if we have two streams
going. We have to, exactly. The lunch
but recordings are maybe an option with permission.
Yeah. Okay. Well, recordings and then post.
But then the other thing is that if people do give permission, then maybe they're going to hold back on their questions, right?
Potentially.
Yeah,
it kind of feels like that's a really good reason to like get your butt over here.
Yes,
if you want to be in the breakout room, like you got like it's very much behind closed doors and a real intimate, you know, kind of real.
Yeah, that's a real good point, actually.
Also, though, we did set up a camera just to record there, so some people had a little microphone for them, so like, was it Chai's? The other two people that work with Chai, how was his name, Ben and something else?
Her name is
Yi. And there's another gentleman as well,
Ben.
Ben, yeah. Okay, yeah, Ben and Yi.
That was an epic breakout session. That was absolutely top notch. Absolutely top notch.
We had that recorded. We did a few. So it's not on the top of our list to sort of go through and prepare those because they weren't initially on the scope, but yeah, we're going to go through and then check that everything is okay for that one and ask the people if we can post it. But again, we're going to cut out any of the Q&A sort of stuff on it, so it's just
their breakout was absolutely stellar. So shout out for Charles, the lunch sponsor, had a very cool product. It looks very cool. I mean, he's a pro developer. I would have given him 15 minutes to demo.
He did have 15 minutes on the second day. So I think whoever wrote that comment wasn't there on the second day.
Right. Well, I mean, also he was demoing anybody all day, everyone all day. So, but I think if people are listening, we can maybe drop it in the notes and, you know, people can reach out to Charles to see his product directly. That would be a good follow-up for him. Because it really was a cool product and it was solid, solid as a rock.
Tracy and Ziv and Matt, maybe next time we can actually schedule that in, like, you know, sponsor demo.
No, the only reason we didn't is because he had a bit of a mix up in his mind and he thought he shouldn't be public announcing his involvement personally. The company was okay, but not himself personally. But then on the second day, he kind of figured out that it's not an issue, and then he was on stage. So
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right. I think he was worried about his day job. Worried, you know, calling a conflict. Yeah, you know, but it ended up not being an issue.
Yeah.
So someone said that they more marketing,
more outreach. Okay, they didn't hear about it until last minute. Okay,
right.
I like that idea a lot.
That's why we have mailing lists, though. People join up.
Yeah, join the mailing list. Come along, and you know, have a session where a buyer or buyers talk. It could be interesting if you get a panel of buyers to do a Q&A.
Absolutely.
Even if the buyers are virtual, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that idea. That's new and fresh.
The venues are for this summit are getting better and better. Also, thanks to you all for sharing your time and networking. Add one more guest. Ken.
I think I've
I
asked.
Know Ken. I know Ken.
I see him regularly. I think I've. Did I ask him last time? I will ask him. I see him like once a week. I run into him in the same circles. So I'll ask him next time. I like him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Breakout,
I love what he's doing as well.
Yeah, breakout rooms shouldn't be simultaneously done during the discussion. Would love to join both. I think we covered that. Let's move on.
Definitely covered that. No, scroll down. Yeah. We don't need that.
And then hard to come up with something on the spot. If it's my first time here, mostly good impressions. There we go. Are you interested? Interesting. Oh, that was me in being a speaker, sponsor, exhibitor next time. So we have two people that want to become sponsors. I'll dig into that and follow up with them. And four people want to be speakers.
Nice.
Really good. They're really good. Yeah.
Positive experience and gratitude. So any final thoughts, testimonials, or shout outs?
let's go to real responses. Yeah,
as your real response, you don't want the you don't want the Gemini feedback. Would like to see more multifamily focused keynotes.
Alicia and I would be happy to provide more of that. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And you know, multifamily, I'm really keen to find some multifamily and turn it into a boutique hotel, but that's just me, just putting it out there in the universe to see if someone wants to talk boutique hotels and let me manage it for them. It's been good so far. I have much more knowledge and I can formulate my action plan more confidently. Just one lingering question. If it's as good as people say it is, then why aren't more people flooding the Japanese property market already? The skeptical me would like to know what the impediments are.
The second or third biggest market in the world, depending on whether you go by transaction or capital size. So
it is flooding.
It is being flooded.
It is being flooded.
Yeah.
Like there's no slowdown. That's considering the language, the lack of information, which is why we do this.
Yeah. Plus, we were just talking about it this morning. There's a bit of a lull now since the new government has been talking about potentially putting in some market caps on foreign investors. But that's been recovering, and I don't know that they're going to be doing that much about it. But otherwise, it has been flooding since the day we started, definitely.
I mean, from my perspective, there has, like, I'm seeing a huge uptick in the number of Minpaku licenses, like applications, as well as a lot more entries into the Minpaku space.
Yeah.
It's certainly different. Different demographics are being saturated. Absolutely, I'm seeing that. There's still, I think that I'm still bullish on the market, and obviously we're, you know, for our demographic. Oh, hey, kitty. Hello. Sorry, for people who think I've just like lost my brain, Ziv just brought a cat and put it on screen. Whose cat is it? Are you at Ziv's house?
Our cat. Matt's one house? Of seven.
You've got seven cats.
We do. That's a different podcast.
Oh, I want to come and play with the seven cats. Oh, fantastic. Please. You're in Fukuoka, love. So that's the impediment to, why isn't the market being flooded? The actual answer is the market is being flooded, and that's a good thing. I think there's still plenty of runway, guys. Is it, you know?
It's a big market.
It's a big market. There's lots of, and it's so diverse. It's not a monolith. Thank you for the team for putting on a great event. Hopefully next year I can sponsor. I will follow up with you, whoever you are. And I have made some poor decisions and wasted 20 years, and this conference has made me feel more optimistic that I can build a financially stable future and have fun with it. Oh, see, that's just made my day.
Yeah,
that's why we do it, for comments like this. If we've helped this person, it was also social. I immediately booked and paid a consultation with Ben Tanaka and intend to approach Emil for services too. I'll get you that person's email address, Emil. I'm keen to get a much younger women involved so that they can set up their financial futures and property portfolios. I agree.
I can tell you that most of the bilingual, foreigner-friendly realtors that we work with are young women, and they're definitely sharp, and they got their financial future sorted for sure.
Yep. And I'm keen to, excellent value for money and enjoyable 2 days, super convenient venue with lots of zones for chilling, socializing and consultants. Please feel free to use any of this testimonial, full name and picture is fine.
That's like the best comment.
See you next year. Thank you. Current panel is amazing. Great people. Thank you. This is my first time attending. Would definitely love to attend again. Speakers are easy to talk with and they entertain questions based on experience and their expertise. I'm glad that I attended and hope to attend next year. Well, it's this year, actually.
Yeah.
Great speakers. I love the venue. Coincidentally, very convenient for my commute.
Okay, that's good.
The end. So great responses.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
They keep getting better every year, too.
We are getting better. Right.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDiz Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property As well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company Innovatius is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
We do have to sit down and figure out for the October, like we can announce the dates for the next one.
We can announce it again, 17th, 18th October, definitely in Tokyo, venue to be announced.
I've inspected another venue, and I think that's, it blows out the budget. I think the goal is to try and keep the price affordable for people. We are going, you know, the only way we can have it at such a nice venue is to have sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring, please just give me I'm not a woman of mystery, come find me, and I will help you become a sponsor and get in front of this audience. Because that, like our goal, and I think all of us are in the same page in that we want to be first and foremost providing value and education on how to do it right. And to make sure that Japan real estate stays, you know, like we have the right people coming in with the right information and that don't make bad investment choices. So, I think that's what we all have in common with all of our different businesses. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just love you guys. I know. Really, like therapy, and you know, like we're just family. It just feels really good. And the people that we're attracting have that as well. And that makes me really happy. Like the community that we're building, I'm really proud of that. And I think we all need to be proud of that.
It's really good. It goes well. And I think also the speakers that we bring, a lot of it, we think it started with what, five of us?
Yes.
Blank is. It started with the five of us, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Very first.
The OGs.
Mm-hmm. And then slowly, like, we got more speakers and more speakers. And majority of those speakers have continued to come and become sponsors. And I've done business with a lot of these people that have joined, like, you know, with Chai and with Mark, with each of you guys as well. Matt, I think we still need to do a deal together. We have not.
Like you and Matt are like on the opposite sides of the spectrum with the stuff that you deal with.
Give it time. Give it time.
But I mean, we send a lot of, like, because we each capture a certain, you know, with our individual social medias, we capture a lot of, you know, inbounds, right? And so I'm always sending people off to Matt, or is it depending on what the person, I usually talk to the person, find out what their needs are, and then I'm shipping them off to the people who can best solve their problem.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So we just have to sit down and we'll figure out if Pullman is the right place, or we have to figure out money and budget and all those sorts of things. So, but it looks like the pricing, we're going to want to keep it at the same pricing.
We want to keep the tickets at the same prices, but also I'm not afraid to share on the recording that in a couple of events we are out of pocket. Like, this is definitely not a income stream for us. No. This is purely to build a community and get in touch with people and get you guys in touch with each other. So to keep the venues as nice as they are, we need to figure out the ticket. Like, it's okay to not make money, but being out of pocket is a little bit too much for us, I think.
Yeah.
I dug that comment too about outreach and more or less just like promotion and stuff. That's something I'd like to chip into that if possible, kind of connecting things and just, you know.
Well, one thing you have to keep in mind, right, Matt? So I was thinking about this a lot. The venue, we were pretty much at max capacity, I'd say. There's not a lot of room for extra ticket sales. The amount of speakers that we have, plus everyone's got an entourage. So that's another at least 20 to 25 people of just admin and speaker group, right? That are not paying. And then we had, what, 60 to 80, 80 tickets, I think, on the first day. There was no room. And the front room, there was even a comment, it was too full for the first two talks, which are mine and Akiha, Brett and Shu. And so I did talk with the Ozawa son about it on the second day. And for those big sessions at the start, we can open the doors so the full back room as well is like that, and then at lunchtime we close it off and have the two and two, and I think that will avoid that congestion. But even then, there's no room for more ticket sales.
We're
kind of at the top end of it, so it's either increase the price slightly for tickets, increase sponsors and sponsorship costs, which I think is also realistic, and discuss with the venue about a different their price, modifying the pricing slightly, getting a bit more of
what we discussed offline, which we'll probably do from the next event as well, is separate the tickets into attendees, like participants, people who are there for the content, and industry people. Like, if you're there and you want to network for your business, that's absolutely fine, but it's not going to be the same price.
You're going to pay more, you're getting and then the other thing is that you know, we can have unlimited people on the stream pretty much, right? So that's the only other option. But are we offering enough value as a hybrid, like for people who are like streaming in? So, and is that something that how do we make that more attractive to, you know, to a broader audience online? So
the streaming numbers basically just break even and cover the cost of the streaming service.
Exactly.
That's not a, and we do those tickets very reasonably priced.
That's right. But we potentially could have more people, right? Or would or would that not work well with comments and being?
No, that's fine.
Yeah. It could, but, you know, even if we get, 30 more people, it's not going to really put a dent in the
cost.
In the financials, no. The streaming is a service. I don't think it's definitely not a profit thing.
Or if someone's got some really good ideas, you know, comment in
Hit
the
us
bottom.
Up. Yes, please.
And we're open to suggestions. So, sponsors, we want to serve the community.
I think what we've discussed, so sponsor pricing, the number of sponsors, the maybe just the general ticket price slightly, increase venue price down. But I think the big one is the attendee price. Attendees, we will separate into industry participants. So if you're an agent, basically, if you work in the real estate industry, their business versus someone who's there as a consumer who they want to buy a place, they want to invest, they want to learn about short term, and their primary business is not real estate, unless they're just an investor, then that's one category. But there are lots of industry participants, and you know who you are, industry participants.
And we know who you are too. Facial recognition, you can't get away with it. but one thing we do have to do as well is talk to people have found that our sponsors are like in line. We will circle back with our sponsors and find out how their reactions were, and see, you know, if they feel like they've got value for money. So, you know, we want to be able to offer value on both ends.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
Thank
you so much. The next one, we'll just talk. Hopefully we have another JREP podcast soon.
I'm down this time every week. It's in my calendar. I've got lots to talk about with all these Minpaku changes. There's a lot to talk about in the new regulations.
Rates are going up.
Sorry?
Interest rates are going up.
Well, you've got lots to talk about as well. Interest rates and are going up, and lots of, and I want to bring on some people to talk about design, and to be creative designs, and even, that might be a better YouTube rather than a voice podcast, but
Oh, this is going on YouTube, so everything that we record goes on both. But the architect that was in the crowd on the first day, I think
Yes.
he was talking with Blanca a lot.
Yes.
He'd be an interesting one to bring in.
He's very interesting. I also have another friend who's an interior architect, and she specializes in like heritage houses. And then we've got, I like the idea of maybe getting some people to talk about their case studies, like how did they go, like the, you know, their what they've learned through the process. And I think having some civilians to talk about what they're doing.
Sounds like a plan. All right, folks, watch this space, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Thanks for your
Thanks,
time, guys.
guys.
All right. See you
See
next
you.
time.
Bye bye.
So there you have it. Your feedback on April's Japan Real Estate Summit, the seventh iteration now held in Tokyo and online. Thank you for your super valuable feedback and those very kind words. If you haven't filled in the survey, but you want to tell us what you thought, we would love to hear from you in the comment section or wherever you might have found this episode. YouTube.com/Japan Real Estate is probably the best way to leave these comments. And mark your calendars, 17th and 18th of October, which is when the autumn session will take place. And we will see you all again very, very soon. Now, we can't let you go without telling you all about Yen Loans, our latest sponsor. They're a new non-bank lender offering financing to non-residents of Japan for purchases of Tokyo condominiums, soon to be expanding to other major cities as well. So definitely hit them up if you're looking to purchase in Osaka, Fukuoka, Kyoto, or any other big city too. And that's for any purpose, whether it's a holiday home, investment rental, or a combination of both, without any requirement for residency, a Japanese bank account, a Japanese corporate structure, or representative director, any of these things. And with a streamlined application process too. So reach out to them through the link in our show notes and let them know that you found them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And if you're quick enough to be one of the first 10 completed applications, you'll receive a 25% discount. That's 50,000 yen off the 200,000 yen application fee. To qualify, apply through the link in our show notes again, or enter the code JREYL on their website, yenloans.com. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening. And we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.